Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and culture that matters. I am Dan. You're going to do that every episode.
I'm going to do that every episode.
Okay.
Because ever since I fucked it up... Oh, so I'm Sean. Ever since I fucked up the wording a long time ago, I just do that now as a joke.
I mean, by a long time ago, we only started doing this, like, I'm going to redo the tagline that we say for every single episode.
Yes, like 4 weeks ago.
Only like 4 episodes ago, but that feels like 4 weeks ago.
It does.
We're finally back to something resembling a normal schedule. The Sunday podcast didn't go out on a Sunday or Monday.
Who knows at this point?
No, this isn't going to go out on Sunday because logistics that are completely irrelevant. We're recording this one earlier in the Sunday.
Yes.
Super irreverent logistics, I should say. Music-wise this week, it's pretty mellow. There was a T.I. album that dropped, but quite frankly, we're trapped out. We heard a little bit of the album.
All I heard was trap sounds. I'm done.
Here's the truth. You can listen to maybe like our past 3 trap album reviews, which might include Travis Scott somewhere. And Scott was one of the slightly better ones.
No, it wasn't.
But like, Travis Scott or T.I.?
Oh God, it's like taking a bullet or cyanide.
I'd absolutely hand it to Travis Scott. But like,
just because, you know, Travis Scott, just because 21 is on it and it has a line, I'm so rich I say my dogs now.
No. Substantive shit. The Travis Scott's album was way better just because the production, there was way more that went into it. There's way more that tried to push things outside of trap, even though if it wasn't successful, you could see the effort. It was absolutely apparent.
So.
And T.I.'s most recent album, that's really not there. And so, in the sake of being kind of dime trap is what it's called, I'm kind of sick of reviewing trap albums because they literally all sound virtually similar.
The same.
We'll review one if there's like some moderate interest, or like reason to. For example, next week, whether we like it or not, even though I kind of know how the answer to this is going to be, we're going to be reviewing Quavo's solo
Sancheros.
Album, Quavo Huncho, because that's his first solo album away from Migos. And that's like a musically significant thing, even if musically it may not be great. Nevertheless, we're going to be giving our hot takes on many of the albums this week, and by many we mean one, and that is called 21 Pilots' album Trench, which I have varied opinions on. Let's get into the other actual audio thing we talk about in this podcast. Oh, and later on this podcast, Sean is going to talk about his response to a lot of the points Hassan made in the Audio Face 66 bonus episode, where he was defending SoundCloud Rap and Lil Pump, and Sean's got thoughts, and we finally have time to get those thoughts out, and so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But, let's go into the first new single, Anderson .Paak and Kendrick Lamar's Tints. We talked about this last week.
Tints. T-I-N-T-S.
Like window tints, which is basically the chorus. Because I guess windows tinted is not a good name for a song. But whatever.
No, 97 isn't.
We talked about this last week in the idea that Anderson .Paak is working on an album that should be coming out the first half of next year, probably the earlier part of next year, 2019. Wow. That is...
Wow.
That is supposed to be... Like, he's aiming to push rap forward in some very optimistic-sounding fashion. But this is kind of our first hint at that.
I like it. I enjoyed it. It was like not groovy, but that type of, it got you to dance, you know, got you feel a little bit. It wasn't trap. It was just, I can't really describe it.
I'm losing the words.
My
take that I made several episodes ago in Audio Faced, funk is back.
It really is. There we go, funk. God damn it. I can't think of the name of it. Exactly. It felt like funk hip hop. And it was so nice. I put it on. I'm like, ooh, I want to dance
like,
now.
It has that kind of like...
That's a bass line.
Break back beat from like early hip hop. Like it takes two to make a thing go right.
Yeah.
Like it has that kind of feeling to it. But then it also has like funk added on top of that. So it sounds very energetic, fun. The drum beats are like a lot... just on a different level from most of what rap production is in 2017.
It's so refreshingly nice to hear.
Yeah, and it's got like a partially singing, partially lyrical vibe, which I think matches perfectly with both Anderson .Paak and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it.
Yes,
I'm interested.
Audio Face rule now. Can't listen to anything else until that Anderson .Paak album comes out. Yep. So this better be. I don't know if this is an indication because this is the exact kind of single that would be a, like, this is the exact kind of single that they would release early as the first single that sounds nothing like the rest of the album or isn't really similar. And it might throw you off of what the entire sound of the album is going to be like. So again, I'm not going to judge based off the first single. It's the audio face rule that we're only going to listen to the first single.
Well, we will listen to the other singles, but we can,
we'll only talk about the first single.
The first single and then the full album.
Yeah.
Unless I lawyer you and I get to talk about another single, which happened once.
Yeah, I still had to think about, oh my God, how did that happen? But because you picked it as a song of the summer pick.
Song of the summer.
Yes, we're talking about a 1975 song. But let's move on into news.
What the fuck?
Before we move on to news, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you like the first 5 minutes of this and you aren't immediately turning off.
Which means you're a real one.
Yeah.
Which real we appreciate one before. If I can speak
but
English.
Sean reacted to something before I plugged us, and what was that that you reacted to?
Lady Gaga fans are wild. So apparently she's starring in a film, a Star is Born, and it's getting released the same day as Venom.
It released already.
Oh, it did?
We're reading this off an article from earlier this week.
That's
but
right.
That Lady Gaga's film, A Star is Born, has come out Friday.
This past Friday. Yeah, it's Thursday, technically, for most shit. But anyway, so Venom and A Star is Born were released on the same day, and Lady Gaga fans were giving Venom bad reviews. That way people would go watch her film instead. You guys are wilding out. Fucking chill.
Lady Gaga stans were like the original rabid fan base on the internet back in like the mid-2000s.
That's MySpace fans.
Yeah, and I mean, now these kinds of let's bombard something with reviews before something comes out for our fan advantage or our just like humor as music fans has been, or fans or whatever, has been a thing that's become more major since the internet has matured in 10 years, where like people will go on, like I think on Reddit it's called brigading, when you and a bunch of other Reddit users go onto another subreddit, just like spam the subreddit with a bunch of different posts and things like that. It's the same topic where you get a mob online to do a certain thing to achieve whatever goal.
Yeah.
Once again, Lady Gaga's fans are wild. We really should. I'm kind of regretting that we didn't and will not have time to see A Star is Born or review it because it has musical significance. It's
like
a redo of another, like an older film. It's got some of Lady Gaga's like music and life put into it in this new refresh version. I think it'd be very interesting. Sucks that this is the end of the season for you and the beginning of campaign season for me. So not gonna happen. I'm sorry. Love Lady Gaga, but really do. Not gonna happen.
Yeah, you have negative time, right?
Yeah.
Our lives are total opposite ends right now. I have nothing to do and he has everything to do. For the first time all year, like it's like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
Never can align. So there's gonna be a Mac Miller benefit concert in LA, which has a giant lineup. I think the 31st at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles.
Yeah, like Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that is Halloween. I'll just give you what it says. You got Axon Bronson. Wow,
Can you read?
Wow. I'm just... you know what I meant.
Axon Bronson, Anderson .Paak, Chance the Rapper, Demo Genesis, Dylan Reynolds, Earl Sweatshirt, Jid, John Mayer, Miguel... I cannot say that one. Jonesa? Begins with an N. Schoolboy Q, SZA, Thundercat, Travis Scott, Ty Dolla $ign, Vince Staples, and apparently more.
That's fucking a lot of... That's... Star studded. That's 5 stars right there. And you got the woke man himself, Vince. Apparently he's pretty close with he was pretty close with the Mac
all of
Miller.
These artists were incredibly
all very
close.
Like they did collaborations, they did different work with each other and stuff in the industry, and they were quite good friends. So it's nice to see like a lot of his friends and stuff really putting on something and as a celebration of life.
The funds go to the Mac Miller Circles Fund, which is part of the Pittsburgh Foundation. So it's like local
stuff for inner city stuff in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Penguins do some things with that too. Yeah. So.
Sounds absolutely great. If you want to get tickets for that and you're in the LA area, I think it's going to be a good show for your money.
That'll be a good show.
If you've got nothing else to do on Halloween, which you've probably got other things to do on Halloween in Los Angeles, but nevertheless.
Fuck that, Halloween's overrated.
So this week there weren't many, I strongly disagree with that, but let's talk about an album. this week there weren't many. I mean, there were a lot of albums to talk about, but we just didn't really know where to jump in. 21 Pilots was familiar to us, but
yeah, I listened to them.
But
so.
I really didn't want to listen to this because my original idea of coming into 21 Pilots is like
whiny
somewhere like if Maroon 5 could somehow be whinier.
If Maroon 5 and Mumford and Sons made a shitty hipster baby, that would be 21 Pilots, because their best, their greatest song, or like their biggest hits, I should say, not their greatest songs, are Stressed Out, you have Heathens, and
Ride.
Ride. And those are all just super whiny songs that kind of sound similar. I don't like the sound of their voices in every scene.
Wish I could turn back time to the good old days.
Yeah, like that stupid shit. So I looked at it, the list, I go, 21 Pilots released an album. You know what? Fuck it. Let's see what happens. And they released Trench, which is 14 songs, 56 minutes long. And wow. Want me to go first? You want to go first?
I mean, so here's the thing. You say that because the person who's hosting the show doesn't usually lead off the album reviews. But I think the rule should be the person who leads the shows leads all the album
reviews.
There's
no rules. Who gives a fuck?
There were rules. There were norms.
Who gives a fuck about norms?
Okay, Trump.
I don't give a shit about norms. Do
whatever.
What you want. Because I'm not like good. I'm not time change values.
You were about to go into the album review, so just go into it.
Yeah, fuck it. I look into it. And they don't whine as much in this album. Like, the first song, Jumpsuit, shit, it's a perfect opener.
It's a decent opener.
For what the album is, it draws you in to the album, and it sounds great, the production's good, lyrics are okay, nothing crazy, and it's a really, really good opener. The second song, Levitate, is more of like a spoken word type hip hop song, which I know 21 Pilots kind of experiment, you know, they do the in between both, they're known for that, but they go together. And that's kind of the theme of the album, where it goes between alternative rock, hip hop side, like Beck, you know, going back and forth between the styles, trying to do it. The problem is the last couple of their albums, it got really whiny and I didn't like it much. They sounded too white boy-ish, you know?
Yeah.
This one, they didn't, it sounds good, the whole album. Very, very pleasantly surprised. For the first half of the album is stronger than the second half, which has been a trend over the year.
I think that's many albums in general.
Yeah, but I mean, I've really noticed that this year more than other years, previous years.
That's interesting.
With this genre, I guess. It just depends on the artist.
This genre being, where would you put this?
I would just put it as, alternative would be the best way I could put it. But I mean, so broad a term. But I mean, with a lot of albums that I've reviewed this year, I've just noticed that the second half, a lot of people, they seem to just throw in either too much or they have too many ideas, and the second half just becomes a little bleh.
Right.
But there's other artists like MGMT who did really well with their second half of the album. Roosevelt did well. I mean, but we'll get more into that when we do our Audio Face Awards.
We had a thesis earlier this year where rock music was going to see like a bunch of different evolutions and changes, as there is really no. It's definitely in a lull point right now, and people are trying to figure out what can we do to change this genre, to modify this genre, to push it forward, to make it sound good. And there's a bunch of experiments in the alternative sector area and the indie kind of area of what you can do with rock.
And these guys are experimenting with spoken word hip hop, some more electronics. They didn't use trap snare though. So,
yeah.
Thank you. For a second, on Levitate, the second song, I heard a little snare. I'm like, I'm like, oh, they didn't do trap snare. They did a different snare. I was quite happy. So overall, I enjoyed the album a lot more than I thought I was going to. Overall, production was good. Lyrics are okay. There was a couple of moments where they got a little whiny and stuff, and they were talking about, I'm trying to think of what song it was. But they're trying to look back in the past again. I'm like, oh, don't do the whole whiny thing.
I mean, like, that's 21 Pilots, like, bread and butter.
Exactly,
being whiny and looking on the past for people who enjoy that kind of music.
But it wasn't nearly as bad as it. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I like the album 10 times more than I thought it would. I'll definitely, the Jumpsuit, their first song, probably the first two songs, Jumpsuit, Levitate, I will definitely listen to it more. I won't listen to the whole album, but there's songs from here that I will definitely listen to for the rest of the year. No problem. I liked it.
This was the most listenable 21 Pilots album I think I've ever heard. I remember listening to Blurry Face, their last one that has like Stressed Out and all their like super big hits, and that was rough in the streets. It was really, I mean, I hated the album pretty much entirely. and hated the sound of it. This I could listen to, and I usually, you know, associate 21 Pilots with like whiny, weak, like pathetic, kind of annoying shit. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, I'm kind of getting into this. I don't love the experiment with spoken word. I think if you're going to do that, and like, quite frankly, if you're going to do that and be a white ass band as 21 Pilots, then you have to be very careful, and you have to be very kind of like particular with how you incorporate spoken word into like your music, because it usually sounds terrible. That's a barrier that you just kind of have to get over, I think, when you're a rock artist particularly, or you're making that kind of music and you're trying to blend in the spoken word over music, which inevitably ends up sounding like rap. And spoken word over music just sounds, maybe it was a little bit easier to get away with earlier times, but spoken word in music, in rock, right now sounds very clunky. And there are very few people, I think, who can do that, Beck being one of them.
I was about to ask.
Beck, Beck being one of them. And then, like, that's the gold standard for someone who can weave that in very well. And that's because he's been doing that for years. He's been owning that for years.
He started that in 2003.
Before that, Loser and everything on Mellow Gold is a hearkening back to that kind of idea of almost rapping, but kind of doing ultimately a spoken word thing that just happens to be rhythmically hitting well with the music. And usually 21 Pilots has been terrible with that. In this version, Trench, 21 Pilots is better with that. And I was going, okay, yeah, I can totally listen to these songs. It's all great. Then I got to number six.
Yep.
Then I got to Smithereens.
I knew it was going to be Smithereens.
Oh, right, I forgot. 21 Pilots is cuck shit. Like, I forgot this is basically if Soy Boys made music. Like, this is... The lyrics for Smithereens are literally, for you, the chorus is, for you I'd go step up to a dude much bigger than me. For you I know I would get messed up, weigh 153. For you I would get beat to smithereens.
Yeah,
so you're basically making a song about how you would get your ass kicked for a girl that I'm pretty sure in song 12, she dumps you.
She dumps you, yep. It's not worth it, boys. Trust me. It's not worth it.
Like, I mean... I've always associated 21 Pilots as music for men who like their girlfriends getting fucked by black guys.
Whoa.
Which is a demographic I personally don't mind. And I personally don't have any kind of disrespect. It's like, whatever, however you want to live your life, more power to me. But Smithereens really, like, I died hard listening to that song. It was kind of rough. And then after that, like I said, the rest of the album is incredibly underwhelming. And my disagree was that I feel that most album construction, when you aren't an artiste and you can't construct an album in a way to where it flows all the way through to the end, then it will inevitably happen to where almost the way you construct a video, where eventually you will lose a certain number of people who are watching the whole video going to the end. So by the end, you only have a certain number of listeners. And so knowing that that's how people usually listen to albums, they quit somewhere near the middle, you put the best ones first. So that way people keep listening, hopefully, through the other parts.
Unless you're an
artist. Too many artists put all their good songs first, and then all their filler near the end, and then we all know what you're doing.
Yep.
But if you're an artiste, then you spread it out. You don't have filler so much as you're just like...
And that way your filler, quote-unquote, filler songs are almost as good as your best songs.
Right.
That way everything flows together.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one album, Arbitrary Score. I'm going to give it... But Arbitrary Score is Pencils.
All right.
Because I don't know why I literally thought Pencils. So the more Pencils, the better. Because, you know, in school, if you're pencil keen, you're pencil keen, you know. Everybody's like, oh, you got lead.
I remember being the sharpener drug lord back when. Right,
or I was a lead drug lord. I had 0.5 and 0.7.
Oh, yeah.
Because I preferred 0.5 being a lefty because I broke every pencil on God's green earth.
I like 0.7.
0.7 is good if I'm writing other hand.
This is three of those number two pencils with the eraser that's really annoying. Like the eraser that's basically a brick.
You
can't really erase things with. It's kind of just like there as like a, just as for aesthetics.
Yeah. This is my pencil I used in college, but I didn't have an eraser and I had to have an eraser separate.
Just use a pen at that point, man.
Yes, but I got banned from using a pen because my writing is so illegible. My professors there said, I can't read your stuff. Please use pencil.
Oh, yeah, your writing is horrible.
No, my writing is horrible.
I've totally forgotten about that.
My writing is awful and it's never going to get any better.
Yeah. This is accidentally going to turn into a mild Kanye thing just by the nature of it. But I am going to officially hereby nominate Chance the Rapper for the AudioFace 2018 Woke Award. Whatever we call it and whatever incarnation it is, Chance the Rapper is going to be nominated for that award. Because he's pledged millions to different charities in Chicago and announced a second annual summit for his social works program, America Works.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's about to say that.
But
dun dun.
This new season of House of Cards is gonna be very interesting.
Dude, I can't wait.
Coming next month.
It's next month?
Yeah.
Do 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 do. Shit goes down. He went down, Joe Diaz.
I mean, no, there's so many like hazards by taking the phrase "went down" and applying it to something involving that actor from House of Cards, who we all know him. I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. I was gonna say. Never mind.
Anyway, Chance the Rapper gets to go on our short list for Woke Award because he is doing the Chicago, as I like to call Chicago.
He's doing
the outreach programs that Kanye allegedly did, but never did because he's a.
Whoa. So Kanye West. So Kanye West. Let me save us from that. So Kanye West did this thing at the Fader, where he was in the Fader's offices, and he was kind of going and detailing on one of his long rants very recently. So this is after.
Is that the one where he said, "Leave Elon Musk alone"?
This is around that time. But this is around the time he went on SNL, so like a week or two ago. And he went to the Fader, a different and interesting music publication.
That
we use occasionally, but I have my peccadillos with. Nevertheless, he was in Fader's offices, and he was talking about how, oh, we're going to be doing all these things for Donda's house and here and all that, and we're going to be doing all these great things for Chicago. Meanwhile, if you're woke and you listen to the AudioFace podcast, you will know, because we talked about it in the summer, that Kanye is letting all of the things involving Donda House go to shit. Mm-hmm. The people who are supposed to be staying back in Chicago kind of doing the day-to-day of the charity work, while Kanye just kind of helps from time to time, which is a totally fine thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a musician and be a celebrity and go, I'm going to make sure that some of my time and my money goes towards this cause, but I'm not expecting you to be on the clock
all
the time.
That's not his job, yeah.
But
occasionally you pop up, you show up.
Of course, but like the people who were there, the people who are there supposed to be there all the time are like, Kanye, what the fuck are you doing? You're letting this house go to shit.
Yep.
And so we all know this despite what the Kardashians, literally Kim Kardashian will tweet literal fake news about this. But while all this is happening, while Kanye is trying to do this whole spectacle of being great for Chicago and trying to hold on to that little bit of, like, the way people look up to him because of the college dropout and that era of Kanye, he's trying to hold on to that semblance of things left by trying to look like he's doing good things.
Yeah.
But no, he's just like made an ass of himself for a variety of different reasons. But let's talk about Chance the Rapper a little bit more. It's going to... So, one thing he's doing is a digital... like resource book called My State of Mind that's going to help people in the Chicago public school systems with mental health and kind of what to do with certain symptoms, which is great because there is no, and I'm going to do my best to be respectful and not bring Kanye into this part too much, but there is no part of our education system that teaches people how to deal with mental health.
Nope.
Let alone sexual health and let alone physical health. But usually physical health comes first in the education system, followed by sexual health, if that.
And you're failing at that.
Yeah, and we're failing at that, dumbasses. Followed by sexual health, which we're failing at, and then mental health, which we're failing at even harder.
Dude, you're a disaster for that.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's putting his money where his mouth is, Chance the Rapper, and that is absolutely great to hear. And one last Kanye thing, because it is happening. But Kanye is going to apparently visit Donald Trump at the White House sometime this week. He originally wanted to go to Kaepernick, but that wasn't going to happen.
He wanted to bring Colin Kaepernick along. I wish that would happen.
I want to be there for that conversation.
Oh my God, I want to be just a fly on the wall.
I want to be the NSA when Kanye called Colin Kaepernick.
Colin's probably like, yeah, I'm going to have to pass.
Colin's like, Colin Kaepernick sitting in Nike headquarters throwing a Nike ball into a Nike hoop wearing Nike shoes, Nike nut hugger jeans, going, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna be able to go to the White House. Maybe another time. How's it going in Chicago, homie? Yeah, that's probably how it go. But Yeah, that's going to happen next week. And what I'm going to try to do is I have a lot of friends who represent a good number of people, not necessarily in the audio face audience, but in the music world in general, who are more privy to this idea that Kanye West is just being Kanye, and this is something that we should all kind of expect. I don't want to set up this argument so stacked against whichever guest I bring on, but I'm going to try to bring on. I'm going to try to bring on someone who can bring on this other side of the Kanye story.
I miss the old Kanye.
Yeah, we'll talk about the old Kanye a little bit on a bonus episode of Audio Face to be released sometime soon. I anticipate before Yandy comes out in November, or at least when Yandy is scheduled to come out right now, because I believe Chance the Rapper said something about Yandy not even being started yet.
I would not be remotely surprised.
Yeah. But there is someone who has definitely said, like, yeah, Yandy has not been started yet. Of course. But, you know,
I'm not surprised.
So, speaking of Audio Face being one of the most open-minded podcasts in America, and me trying to reach out to other people, trying to talk to their other opinions on things, I recently spoke to Hassan Piker from the internet, from
the Twitch.
I need to stop saying that, because then people will think we're actually similar. I need to be able to cut my losses cleanly from him. Anyways, Hassan Piker from Twitch, from The Breakdown, he's a political commentator and Instagram thotty.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyways, we have conversations in the workplace all the time about music. And specifically about SoundCloud rap, which he loves and I hate. And there's a whole episode that we talked about some of the merits of this that you can listen to. But I've told you about listening to way many times. But now Sean gets to jump in. To it. Sean listened to this episode because he couldn't be there in person. And
because I don't work at the same. Unfortunately, you're involved in your work due to the terms of my parole.
Due to the conditions of security.
I'm not allowed to wear spandex over at your studio, I guess.
We hard pass on spandex at our studio. We have this whole thing about people being inappropriate at news organizations that we'd like to be privy to. especially mine. Now, let's go into some of the notes that I have, because you had some thoughts specifically talking about.
I have a couple of interesting thoughts overall.
Would you like to jump in? Like, not to my big question that I asked earlier, but like.
No, we'll just answer that later. But I could give my general opinion on SoundCloud rap too, just to give you like.
Let's give you a general. Let's do this. We'll give you a general opinion. I'll sum up kind of Haas's argument, and then you can respond.
So some of it is verbal diarrhea garbage, and some of it is passable. So you're just going to be on like a weird opinion coming from me. I don't think you'd ever see this. So
Weird takes with Sean Suarez.
So obviously I don't like Lil Pump. I think he's a fucking buffoon. I don't like that style. Most of that style SoundCloud rap. Motherfucker. Lil Peep. There's a couple of his tracks that I actually did enjoy.
Whoa!
Because I understood what he was trying to blend. Blend kind of emo-ish music with SoundCloud rap. And he had this very interesting idea that was trying to blend the two together. And some of it was passable. Like, I have to be in a mood in order to listen to it. Because if I just listen to it like any normal day, I will not like it. Here, I have to show you. Hold on, let me pop it up real quick. But yeah, that's an unpopular opinion, for at least for you. I didn't think you saw that coming.
Absolutely did not.
Save That Shit, which came out on his latest album. Come Over When You're Sober.
Last album.
Or his latest album / last album. Come Over When You're Sober, part one. Part two ain't coming out anytime soon.
I mean, no, part two is definitely coming out because
posthumous albums are now
releases,
a thing.
Yeah.
So that song, I go, okay, I can honestly respect him for that song because I can see what he's trying to do with the genre of trap and he's trying to expand it. You know, and that's something I always say, hey, you know, try to do something different. And I always give credit to trap artists if they do it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like Travis Scott, I gave him credit for trying something different. It just sounded like dog crap.
Right.
Lil Peep's one was okay. I have to be in a mood to listen to that, but there's only one song where I got a glimpse of it. Fortunately, his life was cut short, or else who knows, he might have been utter dog shit, or he might have actually made something really good. So yeah, that's something really where,
unfortunately.
Yeah, we won't ever know. So that's something where, okay, cool. And then there's XXXTentacion and the whole Forkin incident where I'm like, yeah, no, hard pass.
Can I even maybe put myself further on the railroad tracks to continue? Because I love talking about SoundCloud rappers and suicide jokes. It's my thing.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay.
There are a couple of XXXTentacion songs, like one or two, where I can see where they're going. And they are blending something that's very interesting. Because while you usually wouldn't blend emo and SoundCloud rap,
yeah,
it's actually a very smart blend when you're talking about the audience.
And it works. And that's what Lil Peep did.
Doesn't always work. But it's appealing to the same people, because the people who are listening to SoundCloud rap are also have a relationship to emo and that music, because it's an age thing. It's a time thing. It's a coming of age thing. It's
definitely
it's both a coming of age thing and what age you actually are sort of thing you're describing. And so it's a smart blend there, almost thematically, but musically is where it starts to kind of get lost or doesn't fully translate. And
it depends on the execution of it. I don't think it's been executed
before. Execution.
It depends on the execution of it. And I think if someone does it to where I think it can work. It's just no one has done it perfect yet, and we have yet to see that. I don't know if it'll ever happen, and if it does, I'll listen to it.
And I'll have a hotter take. It's going to take, like,
it's gonna be a while.
Blending emo and SoundCloud rap as it is, or rap in general, is a heavier undertaking than I think most of these SoundCloud rappers are able to do. Because it's a conceptual blending not a musical blending, and to do that kind of musical blending in a way that doesn't sound repulsive to most people, or at least repulsive to the music critic's eye, to the point where it can't really be recognized as a proper movement, that requires some musical knowledge, that requires some production knowledge. And that's not something you can kind of just pick up and learn by playing with Pro Tools for 2 hours and then release a mixtape on SoundCloud. No, you need to know what fundamentally makes emo emo, and what makes rap rap, and what parts can I blend together, and what parts honestly shouldn't be blended together. What parts are like, hey, I'll let someone else try to figure this out, because right now this isn't making sense. Whereas I can put these things together and then put this out.
Yeah.
It can be done, but to extrapolate this less from our big examples of SoundCloud rap, but broader, you generally think that some of it, an undefined number, is horrible, and some of it is passable. Mm-hmm. Is there any amount that you would see as even being, like, remotely good?
I don't know, because there are some, I don't like trap in general.
Right.
Except basically for 21 Savage, and it's only 30% of his work I like.
Right.
So this, and 30% of his work I really like. That other 70%, I'm like, it's getting rapey, stop.
So Haas and I mean, even the 30% that
I like
is likable,
is also a little rapey.
But the
70% is like, that's okay, that's, you cross a line.
And let's, I think this fits into a part of Haas's eye conversation that goes really well. So there's a number of SoundCloud rappers that graduated from SoundCloud.
Yeah.
21 Savage. 21
Savage.
Lil
exactly.
Uzi Vert being one of them.
And that's what I'm saying, where you say it was SoundCloud rap, and I go, that's where I go, okay, what is defined as SoundCloud rap?
Because let's do that right now. Let's just
because you have Lil Pump is kind of graduated from SoundCloud rap, because he releases his own albums and gets featured on big fucking production shit. He's also a professional idiot, and I hate his music because it's not good. But, and I, Haas is like, I don't want to get into too many. We've got to do this first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, SoundCloud rap is
SoundCloud
how I define
rap.
It as basically underground rap that people upload to SoundCloud that sounds extremely trappy and has a very distinctive tone. Pretty, like, have a
lo-fi.
Despair, yeah, lo-fi, really outlook of despair in life, and tries to make, you basically end up being a professional buffoon just saying really stupid shit in the song. Sometimes it can be, some of the artists can be philosophical, some aren't. So it just depends on what they're trying
right.
to do.
When using SoundCloud rap as a pejorative, I agree with your definition. But when using SoundCloud rap as just a just a classification or a topic, I agree with you up until the point of thematics of the music. Because other than the mechanics of you take this kind of low fidelity, what's what we mean by lo-fi, music that isn't super polished in production, often simple in beat making and simple in
because it's low
drums,
production, you
stuff.
Don't have that money yet.
Yeah, you don't have that money, you really don't have that knowledge. It's not just me saying this, you just don't have that knowledge whatsoever. You're trying to put all these things together, But then thematically, it can be your own thing. So a SoundCloud rapper that I mentioned I'm starting to get into that I actually like a lot is Young Gravy. And he's a SoundCloud rapper who mixes humor and stupidity and absurdity into his lyricism, but is absolutely still a SoundCloud rapper. And so that thematically no longer deals into what I call SoundCloud rap as a pejorative, what I would just attach Lil Pump and Triple X and all these different, Tekashi 6ix9ine, all these different artists, people too. That's when I say SoundCloud rap has the ability to just be no more than the platform it's on, a place for people to easily get music that they're playing around with or experimenting on. And then from there, you can't define the content by the platform. It's almost like saying you can call something YouTube news to an extent, but at the end of the day, calling something YouTube news doesn't mean everything is the Young Turks or everything is the Ventura Show.
It's just like classical music.
What's the platform it is?
It's just like that. I was like, that's a shitty term to overview. I mean, you have so many different, you have Bach, you have, you know, I mean, we had this conversation before of what you define as it. Yeah. That's another thing of, okay, SoundCloud rap is kind of a generic thing to say to over a broad topic. Same thing for like classical music. It's overgeneralization of a very broad topic of there's so much more into it. So that I understand. So I'll go into more points of Haas because we kind of strayed away.
I have a connecting point, then I'll ask you.
Okay, fine.
Artists who were graduating from SoundCloud rap, 21 Savage, Lil Uzi, ones who kind of learn or get better, or I think for lack of a better term, they just evolve their sound. They decide to do something a little bit different. They decide to refine things a little bit with their music, and then oftentimes with their themes. And then something along with mainstream success also includes getting rid of some of the bravado that you have as a SoundCloud rapper, because on SoundCloud, and I think a lot of these democratized platforms where everyone can upload but only a few people get big, how you differentiate yourself beyond music might be kind of the shock value.
Okay.
And what makes you kind of like crazy or different or flashy as a musician. And then, or like, yeah, as a musician, as an artist or whatever. And for some people, we take music criticism to mean literally just the music. And I think that's a good thing to do in that, because you're getting rid of all the external factors that have really nothing to do with the music itself. And you're just talking about the music. But this is a certain way of music consumption. And there are other people who consume music for the sound, but then the sound is a less paramount part than the persona, the brand, the lifestyle. Because for these people, to where music is also a utility, it's also kind of a backdrop to how they live their life, they want the music to be able to vibe with how they're living, to be an extension of that life. So maybe it doesn't need to be simple or musically complex, but if it's Lil Pump just kind of going skid it and being stupid and having fun, then that's good enough for a certain segment of people.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. So I think the question from there, and like where you kind of begin to deviate, is like how do you level what makes quality music with the fact that other people have music as a different purpose in their lives from necessarily being quality?
That's subjective, so that's incredibly hard to put. So,
which is what Hassan said, it's subjective. But that's the end of his argument.
And it's to the point of how your upbringing, your education level, where you're from, what influences you have on your life. So, you know, if you got brought up predominantly black neighborhood, say you're a black kid, whatever, in inner city streets, you're probably gonna be listening to hip hop a lot because that's something that's
what's around.
That's what has been around since the 80s, you know, that's especially in predominantly black neighborhoods, that's been around, you know, if you're classically trained, you usually listen to more classical music, this or that. And a lot of people have stigmas in those areas if you can't branch out to this or that. And then you have me, I don't wanna like tap myself, who I've been brought up around everything.
Right.
Where I play classical piano, like that's probably my favorite thing on earth, other than experimental alternative rock. That's still my favorite genre. Classicals, I mean, I don't like this term classical music because I think it's way too broad for it. But, and then also I like hip hop. I like rap. I don't like trap because I don't like the sound. I think it starts to be very general and everything starts to sound the same. So to me, when it's music to sound good, or there should be a level of good, is to me, is if you have the ear for it. So there are some people who are, I again, I don't like tuning myself because I don't.
It's fine, but yeah. Like you're speaking from your own experience.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a musically trained ear, slash if you're blessed with where you have perfect pitch, which I do, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because if something is out of tune and if something isn't right in like your frequency, it literally hurts your head. You get a headache from it. So for me, if someone's singing and stuff and they're a little off, I know immediately and I go, oh, or if you're in a choir, I can tell when a section is wrong. Who's like, if I can hear if one voice is standing out, one is flat, one is sharp, whatever. And in music, that's a problem with a lot of trap is the stupid trap snare that I hate so much. Basically the frequency of it, it's like dead. There's no notes to it. If that makes any sense. There's no, I'm trying to think of terms, but there's no real vibrato to it. There's nothing that you can put into it to make it better. Drums, you can do stuff, different beats. That's why I like hip hop. Hip hop, you can tell in their tone, their voices, they're not monotone, they're not this or that.
There's a flow in hip hop is as much of an instrument as it is for a singer, because even though you're not hitting the same notes, there's the way your voice conveys emotion and the way it conveys rhythm. Yes. That doesn't need to be that doesn't have to be tonal at all. So, it's like there's still artistry to that.
The problem with trap and a lot of SoundCloud is it's so monotone that all of the production and the instrumentation of it is so monotone that it's just very bland.
Right.
And to me, as if you're lucky enough to have that ear, and if you just know that in music, you would know this isn't the best that it can go. There's so much more that can be done to make something sound better. Again, it is subjective, but it is up your upbringing, your own personal, how your body structure is, how your ears are made. If you have a really good ear, you're lucky enough to have that. Some people literally don't. Some people can't sing. Some people can't play instruments. Some can do both. It just depends. Everyone's different. So, but as someone who...
Some people can't cross bridges.
You're right. You can't get a flat bridge's head. Okay, we can get through this. So, as me, I have such an eclectic taste of music.
Right.
And I've basically listened to everything minus country. I can say I listen to SoundCloud rap because I will listen to SoundCloud rap. I refuse to listen to country music because, again, it literally hurts my ears. I think that's why I hate Mumford & Sons so much, too, because that banjo and everything else, all of the crap that's around it, just starts to sound fuzzy and just gets really bland. And that's what happens in SoundCloud rap because the trap snare, the very lo-fi production of it, it literally gives me a headache.
It takes something that's already not very varied in production, which is trap music, which often, or like most of the time, isn't very varied in production, and just makes that production quality lower.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with hypey-typey EDM is the same stuff for me, where it's just the sound, it just doesn't resonate as, okay, this is not a good sound. Like, you can probably make a better sound out of something, but everyone decided to use one sample and just do it over and over.
Yeah, everyone decided to use three or four drum loops or drum beats and ways for the song to build up and then drop.
Really high-pitched wave sounds and stuff. Everyone decided to use the same thing. Same thing in SoundCloud, where, okay, you got this beat, everyone decides to use the same thing over and over and over again, and it just gets really bland. So that's kind of my argument for that of, I understand your upbringing and why you would like something, but someone who listens to pretty much every music, there's so much better shit out there in the universe that this is one of the lowest things on the totem pole of the hierarchy of music, if that's me not trying to be bougie.
Right.
So but that's just me saying, hey, look, there are so many different artists that are making, not just in Western music, but African music and Asian music and Latin American music. There's so much around that there's different types of instruments that the majority of people haven't heard of. Like my favorite.
Listen to the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And like,
wait. I want to like get into a thing like really closely here. So what you're ultimately saying is that, yes, of course, good music is subjective, which is also Hassan's point as well. But then what you're saying that's different is that your subjectivity is alignable to some sort of definition of what makes quality in music, what brings up the production of music. Because what I was trying to tell Hassan, which I don't think he was really grasping, was that, yes, music enjoyment is subjective, But you can say whether something is good production or bad production. Mm-hmm. You're able to say that there are defining characteristics for mm-hmm. that. There have to be defining characteristics for some of these things. Otherwise, you can kind of get anywhere. I use the example of politics to him. You can either say all politics is neutral, then it's subjective, which is partially true.
Yeah, but
also a
statement.
Big over... Because you can definitely say, hey, is this a good political idea mm-hmm. or is this a bad political mm-hmm. idea? There's certain points where you just can't argue. And I'm trying to say that there are, like... There are cases where you can't argue, and you can still enjoy music by any of these artists, but you also have to, like, at the same time be able to say that, kind of like what Sean is saying, there is different music out there, and because of that, there's so much more you can do with music that once you compare that to this, you can't with a serious face go, oh, this is absolutely better.
Yeah.
It just so happens that at the same time, while people aren't being exposed to different kinds of music based on our maybe collective musical upbringing, or
I think also it's music education is such a big thing. That's
That falls into it. People aren't exposed to music regardless of how it comes from, whether it's lack of musical education or lack of emphasis of that, or just people straight not paying attention. Or you can look at larger macro factors such as we aren't bringing in Afrobeat or like Asian music mm-hmm. or K-pop, for example.
Yeah,
that's barely
that's niche market.
That
in
those
US.
Are only coming in to America, North, like United States of America, because of the internet. And the internet's like
and then also because of immigration and stuff and different things. Again, that's such a niche market.
Yeah,
because you have some people that's their culture, that's their upbringing. But how many people do you know of that? Fuck all, right? I know a few.
Yeah,
but again, such a niche market. Everyone in the US. Well, most of them will know trap. Most of them, that's what the majority of people listen to because of, I think it's also a statement of the music industry and stuff where just everything is being made for money. Everything is not for the art.
Well, that's everything. It's like you make apply it with videos. You make whatever you want to, like for money. You make, like when you're making something and you don't know what to make, the easiest pick is to make the thing that everyone else is making money on,
mm-hmm.
which means you're sacrificing individuality for profit.
Very big individuality.
And the incentives mean, oh, why am I supposed to care about individuality if individuality is less likely to profit? And that's what I'm saying. Because of these larger macro factors that are inconsequential to whether someone chooses to get a good musical upbringing, when the people pushing out the music are pushing out like the same type of music they found out hits, then that's going to suffer because these are ultimately the gatekeepers for better or for worse for music.
Yeah.
I have a last question because we got philosophically into what is good music and we got into a larger conversation about where that all comes from. But I found that the most convincing argument for any of these artists is that they offer a form of escapism. Well, like some
what type of escapism? It's that's again. That's very general.
Christ.
That's
okay.
Very broad.
No. It's not broad. I can make this very simple. Escapism from in the same way that sports acts as escapism. Escapism from the daily mundanities of modern capitalism, where you're either stressed out about your individual life when it comes to work or school or play or relationships, or escapism when you're thinking about larger geopolitical, social, cultural issues or things that are bothering you. Escapism from basically, you come to this music and it's either meant to be something that distracts you from other parts of your life and either makes you happy or maybe something that doesn't make you happy but resonates with bad feelings that you're feeling right now. Even that can be a form of escapism to where you're not confronting all the demons, the negative things that are happening to you in life, but you're addressing them through music in a controlled setting, which is usually a form of escape. So in that sense, because we all come from different contexts and we're all like escaping, quote unquote, different things, then can you argue that, like, SoundCloud rap, even as bad, objectively, subjectively, whatever you want to use it, as Lil Pump or a lot of the lesser good SoundCloud raps coming out there? I mean, it has an appeal, obviously. He's selling records, he's selling albums, and it has an appeal to a lot of people. Are these people, is the best way to sum this up, if maybe they even know it's not the best music, are they there for escapism? And is escapism a justifiable reason to... Like, better question, can you grapple with the idea of escapism while also grappling with the idea of this music isn't great? And how do you reconcile those two?
Yes and no, because you can escape in any music. It's a really shitty argument to me because you could say this music is for escapism. Okay, all of classical music is escapism.
Right.
Basically. It's pretty simple. A lot of the stuff I listen to is not escapism, because I don't care. I just, if I like the song, I like the song. But then I will escape into certain themes and stuff. With SoundCloud, it's, I can understand where it's escapism, but it's escapism to where, to me, culturally and in your daily life and stuff, it's not good escapism because it's not confronting the issues head on. It's throwing them away and running them down with drugs, abuse, all of that. Because, I mean, look at guys, they joke about popping Zans. They joke about trains, but right. They're a better word for rape. And look at all the stupid...
I mean, you can call it, joke about rape trains.
Yeah, literally. And what... And all of the abuse that they do to just each other, all the verbal abuse. And to me, it is a form of escapism, but it's not the right way to escape, in my opinion.
I mean, like,
because to me, it's extremely self-destructive. And it's stuff to where that's why you see a lot of deaths in.
It's like the musical form of escapism via drugs and alcohol.
Literally, yes.
Matter is escapism, drugs, sex, and alcohol.
That's why there's an artist called Little Fucking Zan. I mean, he's also a professional dumbass.
Can't forget Smoke Perp.
And Smoke Perp, like, that. To me, that is not, it is escapism, but it's not healthy escapism
And the glorification of all of
exactly. I mean, look at Tekashi 6ix9ine. All of the abuse, how many times they've been in jail, what they do to other people, it's not, that's not what you should be looking up to / escaping to. If you want to escape from life, you can... I mean, there's so much other music out there that is way better for escapism.
And I want to add that I agree. It was hard for me to parse the question-asking part of me from where I actually stand on this. But I agree that escapism takes different forms for different people. And I also agree with the sentiment that not every music needs to be, nor should aspire to be woke or have a positive or good message.
God, no.
But I'm saying you can have, like, straight electronic music with no words or very minimal words whatsoever. Or my escapism electronic music can be when I'm in the gym listening to EDM that's hypey-typey and maybe about like nothing and ridiculous, but I'm not paying attention to the subject matter. I'm just like using it as a tool.
I mean,
as utility.
Use Mozart. He has...
One could.
What?
Like one could use Mozart.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of my forms of escapism because there's a couple... piano concertos that he wrote that have no lyrics, nothing on, and they're really upbeat. And they make you laugh just because the way, the key that they're in and everything. And it's just, it's funny. Because people think of it as just this old, dark, super serious, you know. That's why I hate the term classical music.
Because Shapiro's the poster boy for classical
exactly. music. And I remember he put that on because he's like, Hassan was saying, he's classically trained by the violin and this and that. I'm like, well, I'm trained in piano, but I'll fucking listen to MF Doom. I'll listen to NWA. I grew up in Long Beach. I don't care.
Right.
But again... I've been brought up with music, so I listen to a lot, and I'm not sheltering myself by anything. I'm up to listening to anything. But what, for me, more escapism, I can go to Mozart, I can go to a lot of classical artists and say, hey, you know what? I'm in a really bad mood. I want to listen to Rachmaninoff right now. I want a deep, depressing, 6'6" Russian fucking destroying a piano because I'm in a bad mood. Or I can go to a cheeky dude from fucking Salzburg that literally wrote a song or a piece, don't yell at me classical people, a piece called Lick My Ass Nice and Clean. Mozart did write that because he was telling his friend to fuck off. Ironically, it is a beautiful piece of music, but again, that's something, hey, look, he wrote a piece called Lick My Ass Nice and Clean just to fuck around, and the people saying it's too serious. That's a form of escapism.
No one's going to ever beat Shaq's Tell Me How My Ass Tastes.
Yes, yes. That was the original Tell Me How My Ass Tastes in 17...
Ye olde Tell Me How My Ass Tastes.
Or some random shit like that. Yeah, and to me, this is a really shitty form of escapism. It's really bland, and it's showing all of the problems of millennials, to me, of the way that they deal with their traumas, their past, present traumas, the way that a lot of people deal with just the general outlook of life. They aren't confronting it head on. That's the way I was raised. If you have an issue, deal with it.
Right.
Immediately, don't throw it in the back. I'll bring up the 1975 because that's one of my favorite bands, obviously. they wrote a song, Sincerity is Scary. And to me, it's like, hey, look, so many people are afraid of bringing their own feelings into things that they just want to escape into different things, which I understand. And at some points, you do need to escape. You need to leave.
Yeah, or there's sometimes where, like, feelings later, for sure.
Exactly, right now, because sometimes you'll see me when I get home, I had a really bad day or something, I'll literally fuck off to the piano for, like, 2 hours and just, oh my God, I don't want to talk. I'm just...
Right, and then, like, when I'm in rush mode at work, I'm like, I don't have time to think very deeply about what music I'm listening to. I'm going to listen to something very loud with a lot of percussion in it.
Yeah.
And it might be something crazy, like really trappy, or it might be something really crazy, really electronic, but like there's a bigger thing that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And at that point, the music matters, but is not as in the forefront. Like I'm not thinking about all the things.
To me, it's just that SoundCloud rap and a lot of trap in general is just, to me, it's not best form of escapism. I think you could do a lot better for your, honestly, for your mental health and for your general outlook on life. Because you may not think of it now, but how much of it does it influence you? How it influences your language, your thoughts, the way you present yourself, the way you act. There's so much into it that really isn't that great. But that's just SoundCloud and trap. You can go to hip hop. Fuck it. I love hip hop.
Yeah.
How bad?
Right.
But trap, SoundCloud, I don't think it's good for culture and society in general, for the most part. I do appreciate some of it, but...
Yeah.
that's my general...
Great take.
...arguments against. And the fact that you said that SoundCloud rap is for the proletarian, fuck you, I'm an actual socialist. It's not.
I gave him that argument, essentially, where I was like, you could argue that SoundCloud is the most or something along the lines of, because anyone can upload to it, it's a very democratizing kind of system. But that was an argument I gave him, so it barely even counts. And also, like, I don't want to get into...
No, literally, we're going to talk about this for an hour. I don't want to do that, but it's not.
And this will become
a
political report. Thank you, Sean, literally, for another fantastic, like, very eye-opening conversation. I think, just to end, like, my main takeaways are that, yes, music consumption is subjective for everyone. And people are going to like certain things and they're going to hate certain things. You can also rank music to a standard of what is good and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And then kind of to be able to be a good gauge of that.
It's just like films to me. You have films where people are like, this is, you know what you're getting into when you go into the film. This is just going to be dog shit film. And I don't understand why a lot of people can't distinguish
that. There's differences between personal preference. Where, like, you can like a dog shit film. You can, like, you defend definitely your garbage. You like a dog shit film. Like,
but you know it's a dog shit film.
Yeah, you have to at the same time be able to
say it's a dog 3.
Shit film.
You know it's a dog shit film. You can like it, yeah, sure, but you know it's crap. Same thing with most of SoundCloud rap. You can like it. I don't care if you like it, but you know you should
you
know what
there's
it is.
Better out there.
There's so much better out there. And I have a lot of friends that love Lil Peep, that love Lil Pump, that just go crazy. Love Tekashi 6ix9ine. What the fuck? But and like they go to his shows and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God. But they're my friends. Like I'm pretty close with them. But
you could kill him.
I have thought about that.
I mean,
whoa.
Take this to the bank. Who needs friends who listen to Tekashi 6ix9ine? You can quote
how
me on
many
that.
Of us have
Thank you for this. You have a later engagement to get to. I have the Mayans to get to. Thank you for listening to this episode. Next week, we'll be having Tom Morello, Quavo, and Calvin Rebel Johnson to review more fascinating, illuminating music conversations. Here I was thinking we wouldn't be able to fill 20 minutes of time, and this just became an hour-long podcast. So,
you got me on a tangent, so thanks, Hassan, for the questions. I would love to, honestly, have a conversation with the three of us, like, live. That would be pretty cool.
That's hilarious. I'm never going to do that.
It is never, ever going to happen.
It would be interesting to have an episode with... No, it would have to be me, because I would love to have you and Haas have a conversation, and I would need to mediate, so you two wouldn't kill each other.
I wouldn't kill him. I don't give a fuck.
Maybe.
I'm the most open-minded man in America.
Listen, if you want a three-way Hassan, Sean, Dan podcast, then you should rate us on...
Oh, please.
You should rate us 5 stars
Tell
on
us.
iTunes and Apple Podcasts.
Comment.
And let us know that you would like it to happen. Or you should tweet us at...
Tweet us. Comment on our Instagram post that you want it to happen. This does this.
And additionally, like...
I have all the time in the world right now.
And additionally, like... We have none of the time.
I know. You guys have negative time.
But additionally, if you have any albums that you want us to listen to, if you're like, hey, you have SoundCloud rap totally wrong. A, we don't. But if you have some SoundCloud rap that, or like SoundCloud stuff that you think we should listen to and check out that might It won't change our minds. There'll be some more context to add to how we view SoundCloud Rap. Of course, we'll listen to it. Leave us a rating or review, or just tweet at us, or message us. There are many ways to get to us. But anyways, we will talk to you next week with more Audio Face. Thank you for listening with us. Cheers.
Cheers.